And this is Points North on Interlochen Public Radio. I'm Peter Payette. Judge Bernard Friedman will wait for the nation's highest court to rule on same-sex marriage. The federal judge in Detroit is being asked to throw out Michigan's ban on same-sex marriage, but he wants to know what the U.S. Supreme Court will decide in related cases, including a challenge to California's marriage law. Like Michigan's, it was approved by voters as an amendment to the state constitution. Now the federal courts are being asked to declare these amendments a violation of civil rights. Rick Pluta was in Judge Friedman's courtroom yesterday, and he joins us on the phone. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning.
So how similar is the facts in California to Michigan's?
Well, they're in many respects, three distinct cases. One is a challenge to the federal DOMA law, which says that marriage is only between a man and a woman for the purposes of federal benefits and privileges. The California law does not allow for same-sex marriage, but it's not as sweeping as Michigan's law because California does allow civil unions. That Michigan's gay marriage amendment says that for the purposes of marriage, it doesn't allow for same-sex marriage, it does not allow for civil unions, it doesn't allow for contractual relationships, and it also goes even further and says that really, you know, that public bodies cannot treat a same-sex relationship as anything like a marriage. And so that's been used to deny same-sex couples a whole variety of benefits and privileges. It really is one of the most sweeping set of restrictions on same-sex relationships in the country, if not the most sweeping set of restrictions.
I read that in California, same-sex couples basically have every privilege under some kind of civil union other than the title of marriage.
The ability to call it marriage, yes, that is, that's my understanding, too.
And did Judge Friedman comment on how
there wasn't a lot of discussion on the other two cases other than the judge, which, you know, was kind of a surprise at the conclusion of the hearing. You know, people went in with a big sense of anticipation that something big was going to happen, and he went through the entire hearing and then said he was going to wait for the U.S. Supreme Court to rule, which made, you know, some of the people in the room wonder why there was a hearing in the first place, you know, since so much of this now hinges on guidance from the court.
And this is not the first time he has surprised the parties in this case.
No, well, you know, really, this was never supposed to be, you know, a full-on assault on the marriage amendment. That the couple here, April DeBoer and Jane Rouse, they live in Hazel Park, which is a Detroit suburb. That what they were challenging is Michigan adoption laws, not an amendment that was approved by voters, but a statute that was enacted by the legislature that says that same-sex couples cannot marry, even though straight couples can adopt, married couples can adopt children, individuals can adopt children, two people who are married to other people can actually adopt children. It's just same-sex couples. And so what they did was they filed an equal protection challenge against the law, and the judge, Judge Friedman, invited them, you know, really urged them to expand the challenge to the marriage amendment. He said because it seemed to be such a key part of the argument of the arguments in the case.
That is, the state was defending its adoption rules based on the constitutional amendment?
Right, saying this says that you know, we can't, you know, recognize same-sex relationships as a marriage or anything like a marriage. Yes.
And those rules regarding adoption preexisted the marriage amendment.
Yes,
did they not?
Yes, they did. And it's something that progressives have been trying to change in the legislature for many, many, many years. I think for almost as long as I've been here, and always without success. And what the Attorney General was arguing is that the marriage amendment would preclude those efforts anyway. You know, one of the there were sort of two, I think, key arguments. One was Judge Friedman seemed particularly intrigued by how bound he is by a Supreme Court decision dating back to the 1970s, but it wasn't a formal ruling. It was more of an ancillary court order, but in it the court determined that apparently I'm told that gay people do not have a right to marry, and he was wondering what just the precedential value of that was. And I think that's one of the things that he's hoping for some guidance from the Supreme Court on. And then, you know, a lot of the arguments centered on whether marriage is a basic right. And if it is a basic right, and that is a legal term of art, then that means that it's not something that's put up to a vote of the people in a constitutional amendment, or something that the legislature can change by passing a law, because it's sacrosanct, it's sacred, that you can't touch it. That the attorneys for the plaintiffs in this case, the couple that wants to jointly adopt children, said that this is like interracial marriage, which at one point in our country's history was forbidden by law, and people basically respected the fact that you could make it illegal, and the country evolved, and eventually we recognized that you couldn't touch that. What the state argued in that case was that was really an argument about racism, but not about the basic right for people to marry. So one of the things that either the Supreme Court or Judge Friedman will have to address at some point is whether marriage is a basic, sacrosanct right of every citizen.
And from the hearing yesterday, do you have a sense of how the judge proposes to consider and come down on that? How does he determine whether it's a basic right or not?
You want to be careful about reading too much into questions that are asked, that sometimes a judge will play devil's advocate for example, or maybe will be trying to draw out on a particular point. These hearings are really it's an opportunity for the judge in the case to go, well, if I do this, then what might the result be? Well, if I do this instead, what might the result be? But at one point, remember, first of all, he invited the couple to expand their complaint to challenge the amendment. At one point, he did say that they made a compelling argument, although he said he was troubled by, this earlier Supreme Court decision and how he could do that. And the attorneys did sort of, explain a path by which he might. And there was a moment in the trial where the assistant attorney general for the state arguing the case to keep the amendment intact said that there is just no history of respecting marriage as a basic right in this country. And the judge went, times change.
And in the past, some of these cases have revolved around 10th Amendment arguments, and the states have argued that this is not a power granted to the federal government. Is that at issue here? Is Michigan arguing that this is the state's prerogative to decide
somewhat, on? Somewhat central, that the attorney for the couple said this is why federal courts exist, and it is to protect the basic rights of minorities that are not in a position to protect themselves because they lack political power.
And is the state asserting that point?
The state is asserting that's not the case, that marriage is not a basic right, and also that gay people do have political power because there's a bill in the legislature to allow what's called second parent adoptions, allow basically it would clear the way for same-sex couples to jointly adopt children. But that, you know, on the other hand, that bill has been introduced session after session after session after session, and it's never gone anywhere.
All right, Rick, thanks for your time.
Oh, my pleasure, Peter.
Rick Pluta covers the Capitol for the Michigan Public Radio Network.